I had a little piece of candy somebody gave me for peppermint, you know, for your throat. And it didn't quite dissolve before, just before I got up. And I thought about the preacher. They used to use a cough drop for a guideline. And when it dissolved, when he put it in his mouth, when he started, when it dissolved, he quit. That was his timepiece. So one day he just kept standing. So they finally asked him, why did he stand so long? He said, well, I found out I had a button in my mouth instead of a cough drop. So I tried to get rid of that little piece of candy. I was afraid of the button.
It's all right.
I'm happy to be here. I certainly feel like that you would have to be disappointed when we think about having Brother David to be here. Brother Crawford is one among my favorites, and I know he'll be coming on in, and the Lord will bless him, and just the highways he's having to travel, that he'll be with you tomorrow along with Brother Sam. And I know you've had a good meeting here thus far this weekend. My mind tonight is along the line of building. Building in the kingdom of God. And I read from the book of Haggai. In the first chapter, I'll start in the second verse, because the salutation here would be maybe unnecessary. But he says in the second verse of the first chapter, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, this people say, the time is not come. The time that the Lord's house should be built. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in sealed houses, and this house lie waste? Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You have sown much and bring in little. You eat, but you have not enough. You drink, but you're not filled with drink. You clothe, but there is none warm. He that earneth wages to put into a bag with holes. Thus saith the Lord. Consider your ways. Go up to the mountain and bring wood and build a house, and I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, saith the Lord. You look for much, and lo, it came to little. And when you brought it home, I did blow upon it. Why, saith the Lord of hosts, because of mine house that is waste, and ye run every man unto his own house. There's much more here, and time will not permit that I continue to read, but the question was, the people say the time is not come. You know, they said something like that. It is not time for the harvest, you know. It's yet 4 months before the harvest on one occasion. And Christ said, lift up. They said, yet 4 months. And no doubt, literally, that was true. Maybe it'd be about 4 months before the time to harvest the crop. But he says, lift up now your eyes and look upon the fields, for they're white and ready to harvest. Pray ye therefore to the Lord of the harvest that he'll send laborers into the harvest.
Amen.
Now, brethren, I believe that Christ is telling us that though we oftentimes say it's not time for us to harvest, it's not time for us to build the house of the Lord. We need to wait for a certain season. We need to wait for the moving of the waters, something to happen, or something mysterious to take place. Oh, if something of a whirlwind had happened, or something dynamic, or something supernatural, oh, then we would. I think a lot of us is waiting for an earthquake. In California, they had one. In the days of Wilson Thompson, they couldn't hardly get but a handful to church till they had an earthquake, and then the buildings filled up.
Nice.
So some of us may be waiting for an earthquake. We're waiting for something to happen. Something terrible to happen, or something exceptionally good to happen. Well, brethren, according to God's word, he says it's time now. It's time now. He in answer to them, the people say this. The time has not come. The time that the Lord's house should be built. It's not time to do it. Now sometimes, brethren, this can be taken in the context that maybe here's a few brethren out here in a certain given area of the country thinking maybe that the Lord would bless us if we had a little church over here in this place. There's none other churches around us. But it's just not time. It's not time to do anything about this at this time. And so they wait. They procrastinate. They put it off. They wait on that. And sometimes again we look at our own churches where the crowds have fallen away. The interest has come short. Brother Singletary and I were discussing that. He was talking about when some 35 years ago or something like that, when he joined my home church. It was we had about 135 members, it was. Or maybe I'm getting the dates here confused. But anyway, there was that many at the church and many more that attended the congregation. And that has fallen away greatly. Not only there, but in our general area, it has fallen away. And in other places, it has fallen away. And then we sit down and say, well, it's just, this is the way it's supposed to be. It's just not, there should be no change. We're just waiting for something to happen. And like it was with, I believe it was John Leland, he went into a certain place and he felt impressed to preach there, and he started to dig in a baptistry, just started to dig in a place to baptize. Two pious women came by and they said, "Sir, what are you doing?" He says, "I'm digging a baptistry to baptize." They said, "We wish to inform you, sir, there are no Baptists in these parts." He said, "I've informed you there's going to be." And so, when we look back and look at the lives of men like Wilson Thompson, and we look back at the lives of men, brethren, they had their heart set on building. They didn't have the heart setting on building a corporation or building something that would make them money in this world, getting rich in this world, or that build a reputation that people will stand back and say, look at our preacher. He doesn't, he's not all tangled up just with church. He's independent and all of these things. But brother, I'm going to tell you this, and I'm talking from experience here in this standpoint. There is nothing more important in the lives of God's people and more important in the life of a God-called preacher that he puts the kingdom of God first in his life. And you should do the same thing.
Amen.
You should not just say, well, we want a faithful minister. We want a minister that will be faithful to build in the kingdom of God. But you, I don't care how good of a brick mason you got, somebody's got to carry the mud. Somebody's got to help carry the blocks. And if you want a job done in a hurry, then you need somebody. If he has to go pick up every block and mix all the mortar, then that slows the job down. But somebody is helping in this regard. So he's talking here, brethren, the time is not come. They're saying it's not time for the harvest. It's yet 4 months to harvest. It's not time for the Lord's house to be built. It's not time for the temple to be built. And he refers up here to Zerubbabel, who did rebuild the temple after no doubt it was destroyed. And I tell you, brethren, I do not believe the Church of Jesus Christ will ever go out of existence. Since the time that he established it in the world, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I know that's a fact. Over here, he told Peter when Peter answering him, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." He said, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed it unto thee, but my Father who art in heaven. And thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." And so, my friend, I believe that. I believe the visible, organized Church of Jesus Christ will be here till Gabriel blows that trumpet. But while that is true, brethren, don't think it can't go dead in your community. Don't think it can't go dead in your own environment. It can go dead in your city. It can go dead in your county. Because there are places today, I travel in different parts of the United States, there's as fine a building almost as you've got built here. My friend, right out of Murfreesboro, Tennessee, a nice, lovely building in a grove in an old cemetery there, where the saints went and met to worship, my friend, to worship God in those days. And today, my friend, we used to could have a 4th of July meeting there. The man that owns the building now, he inherited the building after the congregation all died out. He drank some of his relatives, put some money in it, and he had the land that went back to him. And he let them meet there. But the last report I asked about it, he said this: if you go back to that house to hold another meeting, I'll have a shotgun ready for the first one that steps his foot on that land. Now, my friend, that's a kind of an attitude that you might get for somebody who certainly in no wise loves the kingdom of God. But what I'm talking about, my friends, if we've got a mind to work, if we got a desire, if we feel like the Lord is in this and that we should build or rebuild, we should not say, it's not time. It's not time to do it. Brethren, what more time are we going to look for? Where are we going to consider the time? Today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. We don't have the promise of tomorrow, my friend. If you plan to do anything, you say, well, when I get a little older, well, when you get a little more mature,
Then you get too judgmental, you won't do nothing. You get along, after a while you say, I'm too aching and hurting and I can't do it. And when you're young, I'm so busy with this and that, I don't have time to do it. But I've made a lot of mistakes in my life and in my ministry, but I thank God that He showed me there was something worth more in this world than gaining this world and to build in the kingdom of God. I enjoyed building around the local churches for some 15 years, and the Lord helped us build, and He blessed us, and we were building together in this most purely of pure faith, and how the Lord blessed. But you know, the Lord began to take away from me of that power of preaching. I couldn't do it, brethren. I tried and I couldn't. And I said, well, it's me then. I know maybe somewhere in my life I knew there's enough sin in my nature to cut me off any time. I knew that. But somehow or another, here's the thing that I didn't understand. God doesn't change. I'd leave here where I was serving and I'd go over here somewhere and the Lord would bless me and I'd have great liberty and have great power. I said, Lord, now there's not any inconsistency in my God. But then, brethren, I'd think often, I'd think about where should I go? And then I didn't want to build on another man's foundation. Paul says, I don't want to come over here and build where another man's got a foundation. I want to go and build, lay another foundation. And though there's not another, there's not the one, and that's Jesus Christ. But I want to build, I want to lay this foundation in the hearts of men and women who's got the foundation already laid in their heart by faith, my friend. And I want to build the truth in their lives. I want to build there. I don't want to build upon another man's foundation. And so he asked the Lord to allow him to do that. I remember one day I had this little grocery store and I had a road map and I got it on top of the drink box and I opened it up and I said, Lord, I said, where is there in this, in the state of Georgia, and that was a Georgia map, by the way, I said, where is there in the state of Georgia you want a church built? I said, just wherever you want one. I said, if preaching to do it, if somebody will go, I'll go. Just send me out. I'm tired of the burden. I want to go. The fire has shut up my bones. I'm willing to make the effort. Whatever it is, Lord, direct me. And He directed me. I won't mention it. I don't need to. He directed me to a certain place. And I looked up and found a man that lived in that city. And I called him up. He said, Brother, we've been praying that somebody would want to come by here and preach. And says, when you're on your way to your appointment, will you come by and preach about 3 or 4 nights for us? I said, I sure will. And I said, where will I preach? He said, well, we'll hold it at the courthouse. I said, well, that's fine enough with me. And so we went to the courthouse in that city and preached. And every night the congregation grew, my friend, and the interest grew. And I think a lot of the brethren felt like it was a time, it was an evidence of a time to build. A time to build. But you know, they procrastinated. They said, well, it may offend some church 35 miles away. It might offend them. And so they didn't build. They didn't build. And so then later years, I went back again. I did as best I could in preaching. But brother, the fire wasn't the same. I'm going to tell you something. God don't fool around with these things, my friend. I tell you, when He opens that door, you better walk through it. When He gives that opportunity, it's yours then, my brother. Today is the day. And now is accepted time. And He says to build, build. And I believe somebody built, when they built this, this old church at Cool Springs, I believe somebody was led right here to build. And they didn't say, well, we'll wait a while longer. But they built. And it has lasted for more than 150 years. Is it not? I know, I don't know how long. It's been a long time.
About 1809 or something like that. This church, brother, I believe the Lord was in that. I believe the Lord. I don't believe, except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain that build it. Now you just can't, I can't say, go just say, well Lord, I'll just go out here and build us a new church. I know we need another church. I'll just go out here and start somewhere and just go to building one. Brother, I could make a world just like we're in tonight as quick as I could build a church for Jesus Christ. I can't do it. I cannot do it except the Lord build a house. They labor in vain that build it. I cannot build one. But I believe, brethren, in the Lord, we are workers together with Him. We are workers together with Him. And so we are laborers together with Him in building, not building the church from the standpoint of its origin. No, in that foundation, that's Christ has given us. But to build the local congregations and to build the local churches, my friend. I noticed as Paul is writing here relative to this same subject. He is talking about the different types of gifts here at the church at Corinth. And he is mentioning about how that he himself was given the gift of planting. He says, I have planted. Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Now some men are planters. They are church builders. They can come and build. They can take believers in God and make believers in Christ out of them. They can take believers in Christ in their heart and make gospel believers out of them. My friend, by preaching the truth unto them. And so this, I have planted. Now, a planter, a man that's got a green thumb to plant a plant, he never puts any life in that seed. He never puts any life in that plant. He didn't have that power. I don't either, my friend. But God gives that power. And for Paul, I, Paul, have planted. Apollos watered. Now, there's a man has come along. And, brother, I believe I came along. I came along here at Cool Springs, and I believe there was a people who already planted in the truth, and God blessed me to water some of them. And then as I stayed here for a while, maybe the Lord blessed me to plant some that hadn't been planted. And then somebody's come along, Brother Sam, and he's watered them. And now I believe he's planting some. And somebody come along and water after him. But whoever plants or whoever waters, God has to give the increase. None of us can do anything without Him except the Lord build a house. They labor in vain that build it, except the Lord keep the city. Brethren, we often wondering, how will a church stand? How will we keep of the church here in this place or that place? Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. You said, now if we had a full-time pastor is a blessing if he's full-time at it, if he's really preaching, if that's his heart, if his life is given to that. Elder Banks, the man that baptized me, he says, Brother Darty, I ventured out in faith. I was a superintendent over a large insurance company, and they paid me well. But he says, when the old Baptist called me, I felt like God had called me, and then they called me to serve, I had to make up my mind whether I was going to serve the Lord or I was just going to spend part-time at it. And he says, I decided for whatever the cost would be, I would give my remaining days in God's service under the preaching of the Word of God. And I would do this the best of my ability. And he says, for more than 25 years now, I have wanted for nothing. He says, everything has made my way possible in going forth in preaching. And brethren, there's just about everywhere, all the churches he served, there was always some increase in the congregation. Not a great abundance, but there was always an increase in that. And he spent his time till his health faded and was gone. But nevertheless, he gave himself to that work. But now you take the Apostle Paul. He was interested in planting and building of these gospel churches. But brethren, he also was willing. If he had to go into a neighborhood or into a community or to preach to these people, and they was given over to say, well, all this preacher's after, he's in here to get what he can get out of us. That's what he, and you know, and yeah, everybody has that in their mind. I don't care who you are, fella. That's the first thing people think about. Is this man preaching for money? What's he after? I tell you, that's what they get in their mind. That just comes up. And so if you go in to preach and you see there is a doubt in the mind of anyone, then let it be that I will labor with my own hands. And so Paul was gifted in tent making, and so he sewed together. Brother, but as he was sewing those tents together and fixing them up, he was sewing the truth together with Priscilla and Aquila of the same craft. And you know, that showed you he was still a preaching while he was sewing those tents together. And so he was sewing the truth together in such a magnificent way that later on Apollos, who was a mighty man in the Scriptures, and he could convince the Jews, and that publicly, that Jesus was the Christ, but he didn't understand fully John's baptism. And so it was that Priscilla and Aquila came along and instructed him more thoroughly in the Word of God, more perfectly in the Word of the Lord. Because why? They had been sitting at the feet of a man sewing tents together and preaching to them at the same time. And brethren, I believe while you may have to labor with your own hands, you still can preach and teach and continue your ministry as you go along in this work. Still building, my friend, a building right on in this regard. And so, let us look a little bit further here. I just thought about so many things in this regard. In Paul writing to Timothy, he is talking about studying to show himself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And then he says, but shun profane and vain babblings, for they increase unto more ungodliness. Brethren, you, a minister needs to study to show himself approved. If I'm going to build in the congregation and build in the house of God, I got to be fortified. I got to be sound. If I'm unsound, how can I expect you to be sound in teaching, my friend? This is necessary. You give me a weak-kneed preacher, unsound, with one with a rotten place in him, I tell you, you'll find a rotten place out there in that congregation. That's what you got, my friend. A soundness begets soundness. And so it is. A study to show yourself approved. But shun profane and vain babblings, he says, and they increase unto more ungodliness. And their word will eat as doth a canker. This is like corrosion. It is like, what is it? I can't think of the word. But anyway, it'll eat up gangrene. That's what they call a canker, eating like gangrene. And so their words will eat like a gangrene, like a canker. And he says, of whom Hymenaeus and Philetus. Here were two men who began to teach in the church instead of building on the foundation and teaching the old doctrine and the doctrine of Jesus Christ and Him crucified, His death, His burial, and His resurrection. They began to teach that the resurrection is past already and overthrow the faith of some. In other words, I reckon they were saying, all that's going to heaven's already gone, or all that's going to heaven's already gone. When Jesus went to heaven himself, maybe they admitted he went to heaven, but that's all that's going, that's all, that's the body, and there won't be no further resurrection.
Or when the soul goes to heaven, that's all, and the rest of the body, that's all there is to it. It'll go back to the dirt. My friend, I don't believe a word of that. And if any man come among you and begin to teach such a doctrine as that, then you let him be accursed to the coming of the Lord. Because that is not building upon the foundation. He says, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having the seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. But in a great house, brethren, in the greatest house there is, the greatest house that ever been built, there are vessels of wood and of earth. There are vessels of gold and of silver, my friend. There are those who are walking by faith. There are those whose heart is set on God, whose life is in God. And that's all. They love God. They love His kingdom. They love His people. They don't love this world. This world is not their home. They're just passing through. Their pleasures and their friends. All lie beyond the blue. Oh, my friend, they're not concern. It's all right to have a nice meeting house, and they preach, appreciate that. But like the old fella said, well, wife, I found the good old church. He says, it's not fine to build as it was years ago, but when I went in, I found it was not built for show. And so, my friend, when you grow up in God's kingdom, to find out this old meeting house here is just a place for the church to meet. And it's finer built than it was years ago. But brother, that old frame building that sit out there, I'll tell you, it housed the same church. It housed your fathers and your mothers and your grandfathers. It was built, my friend. It wasn't built out of just wood. No, it was. The physical building was. It was built out of good wood. It had to. It lasted about 100 years. But my friend, it was built on something beside a wood. It was built on a faith, my friend, the faith of our fathers. It was built in a principle that stood from 1809 unto this present hour. Brother, God had to be in this. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it.
Amen.
But there are, he says, vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and earth. Brother, I tell you, there's church members. I don't mean that they're not children of God, but their interest is of earthly things. I'll go to church when it's convenient. I'll go to church when none of my family's going to be there. If there ain't no family reunion, or as one old brother used to live in the community of Primitive Baptist, he'd walk through the community on Saturday evening and he'd hear two other sisters are talking over the fence. Well, are you going back tomorrow? Says, well, I reckon not. I went today. And I was sitting at my dinner table. My wife and my sister were sitting there one Saturday evening. My wife said, are you going back tomorrow? She says, well, I reckon not. I went today. I said, whatever they had then, they got now. And so, a lot of times, brethren, you know, we're just weak in the faith. We're letting things, let things of the world, anything, little things, things of this world, get in between us in the service of God. Brother, I tell you, that's wood and that's earth. That's wood and that's earth. And it will not be a vessel to honor, but they will be vessels to dishonor. But if a man therefore purge himself from these, and I'll tell you this, every one of us are constituted of gold and silver and wood
and earth. Yeah, because you got two natures too. You got a heart of gold here. You got redemption in your heart of silver. And you got the love of God in your heart. And you got the old wood out here of the earth and the air. You got the flesh. You got to purge one of these. You got to purge out of the wood and the earth. You got to purge it out. Purge himself from these. And then you'll be a vessel unto honor. And brother, there's no way to have this double honor except a man labor both in word and in doctrine. He's got to purge out. If we live after the flesh, we're going to die. We're going to lose the joy. We can't build, and we'll not be a builder that God would respect. He's not going to honor our labor and our work in His kingdom if we don't do that. And He said, but if we purge out these things, we'll be a vessel unto honor. And oh, my friends, I'm not seeking man's honor, but I would love to be honored of God. Well done, thy good and faithful servant. And to live in a way that my fathers have lived. I think about old Brother Elgie Bryant. I think about Brother Josh Chance. I think about Uncle Jim Nobles. I think about, though I didn't know him personally, Elder Jackson Nobles. I think about the great men of this community. Years ago, Elder Floyd and other men, great men, brethren, in the past, Elder Ben Lord and other men that have been faithful, not perfect, but faithful to God. Amen. In their lives here in this world. And brethren, I was reading some man, his paper ought to be in a trash can somewhere. He sends it to me somewhere out of Florida. And he had Elder Claude Case's picture, the worst thing he could get of him. Here, he had Elder Guy Hunt over here on the other side of the page. And you never seen anybody lambasting these great men as this man was doing. There ought to be a law against it, and I suppose there is somewhere. Nevertheless, this fellow, and I just thought about it. I said, well, when you wake up in hell, you're going to have time. You're going to have time to criticize these loyal, faithful soldiers of God. My friend, God forbid I would do such a thing. Amen. In my life. I know all about brethren are not perfect, brethren. I know that. Examine me, and you examine others. You'll find in us imperfection. But all brethren, if our heart, if God called us, if He's in this thing, it's not of man, it's of God.
Amen.
Do not I love thee, O Lord? Behold my heart and see. Turn every cursed idol by, that I may worship only thee.
Amen.
Building, my friend. Let me close out here. He says, in building, Jesus, the greatest sermon I suppose Christ ever preached was the Sermon on the Mount. The sermon to His early disciples who became His apostles. A dynamic sermon on all of the attitude of the kingdom. The beatitudes of this kingdom. And then on down toward the end of this sermon, He began to say, thou for whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. Rock of ages, cleft for me. Brethren, I tell you, I want to build on a rock. I want to build on a foundation. Unmovable. This man that built his house upon a rock. You know, if you're going to build on a rock, you've got to dig down beneath the sand. The rock's not always laying right up on top. You got to dig. And I'm going to tell you something. You got to dig beneath the sands of carnality and human reason and human logic and all the things that pleases man in his flesh. Dig down. Dig down. I built my house out in Bloomfield. I bought this lot. I thought it was a bargain. So we went to digging that foundation, brother. It got head deep before I hit anything. And it was just a little bit of clay. It was just right on a sand bed. I said, how in the world? I had to go out and haul in a foundation. That's what I had to do. I had to rock and everything. I cleaned up the neighborhood for them. I got every rock and every brick and everything I could. And went down there and had to lay a foundation before I could lay my foundation. I had to put rock in there. It was so sandy. One man said, we won't ever have no trouble with your septic tank. I said, no, he'll probably sink away and go away. He won't find it in that sand. But nevertheless, a builder upon a rock. The wise man built his house upon a rock. The rain descended and the floods came. And they will, my friend. I know gentle rains like we've had today, beautiful, wonderful rains that fall upon the earth. But brother, then there's rain storms that come like floods and waves of water that in swells of streams and like the Mississippi River and washes away houses. And I said, did you see this the other day? It had an ice storm almost in the same area. And then the waters came and ice and clogged the river. And houses were swept under bridges. Whole house went started under the bridge. And the force of the water and the ice, when it came out, it was just in broken pieces. And friend, that's the way your life and my life is. If it's not built upon a foundation, not built upon a... When the rains come, when the rains and the storms come and the winds and come, the winds of false doctrine, the floods of error. There was a flood that went out of the dragon's mouth. That old red dragon that stood there with 7 heads and 10 horns, ready to devour this child as soon as it was born. This woman had travailed in pain for this child to be born. And this red dragon stood there and floods of water coming forth out of her mouth. But the earth helped the woman. The earth helped the woman and swallowed up the water. But I believe God in His providence many times have had men of the world out here to defend certain errors of the devil. And though they're not a part of the church, but the earth has helped the woman. They've swallowed up. And great men like Patrick Henry, not a religious man, but a man that said, give me liberty or give me death. That was earth helping the woman.
Amen.
Giving us liberties and freedoms, my friend. But the floods coming from the devil's mouth. Floods to drown. But it says, and the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon that house and it fell not, but was founded upon a rock. You remember about the three little pigs? How they built their houses, you know? And the wolf come, he huffed and he puffed, you know? The straw house went in, wasn't it? What the other was wood? What was it? But one of them was made out of rock, a stone, a brick, or whatever. Anyway, it stood. And I'm telling you the same thing, brother. The devil is like a wolf. He is there huffing and puffing all the time. He's like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And so, but upon a rock, rock of ages, upon Christ, that rock that followed them, the rock, my friend, that cannot be moved. How wonderful is that rock, that rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, Everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened to a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And brother, every man that has left the foundation of Jesus Christ, the great doctrines and the practices of the true church of God, he may build a little. I've seen people on, my wife and I have walked, that's about all we do on an ocean, but we hardly ever get to go there anymore. But used to, we'd go walk by the ocean side, and some people have built castles of sand right there, right there. And we'd watch a little while, and when the tide was out, they'd do this. But when the tide started coming in, I don't care what kind of mansion you had built there, began to wash it and wash it. And you go back in a few hours and there won't be none but just flat sand.
Amen,
brother. Brother, you build on the sand of human reasoning. A woman told me one time, said, "Brother Dart, I like your preaching. You preach good old doctrine." Said, "You are a good speaker." And oh, she patted me on the back, and oh, she blowed me up. She said, "But you know what you need?" I said, "Well, what is that?" Said, "This church needs some more things here." I said, "Well, what is it that we need?" "Oh, you need a piano in here to help you." Said, "You need a Bible study." "Oh, how bad you need a little Sunday school." Something like that. "And you need..." She began to name. I said, "Wait a minute. I know some real good brethren. I'm talking about my friends. A lot of them are my friends. We're not friendly on some points, but they're my friends. But," I said, "they got these things you're talking about. They done added them." Like when one of these representative men went up to Brother Bradley when he was first inquiring about the church, and this young man, one of the representative men, says, "Now, Brother Bradley, let me tell you now. You are sound in the doctrine. But if you'll come with us, you can keep your piano. You can keep this." He said, "Brother, as God showed us the truth, we got rid of them things before we even got here. Before we even got this far along."
Amen.
And so that young fellow went back to Georgia and got in the hospital. It shook him up so bad. So, my friend, we don't need to add these things that men say add. That's building on the sand. That's building on the sand. Sand of carnality. I told this lady that, and she said, "Well, now, wait a minute, Brother Dart. I've been there." I said, "You have, and you didn't stay?" She says, "No, I didn't see you or nothing." Said, I didn't. I said, "Well, here you are wanting us to bring in these things and just hold to the doctrine over here like a formality, just the doctrine. The doctrine's wonderful. It's wonderful, my friend. But you bring in these other things and the Spirit of God's going to leave that place.
Amen.
Ichabod will be written. The Lord has departed from this house." And friend, we need to be careful about what we try to add in God's house or take away.
Amen.
"And the rain descended, the flames, floods came, and flames come too. And the wind blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great the fall of it." A fallen church. Let me, one more thing here. Gotta read this. I had a whole book to read to you. Nehemiah, I'd love to read you the whole book of that. About him finding the temple, the walls all torn down, and the Lord made provisions for him to rebuild that. That's wonderful. That's some good building the Lord was in. But when they started rebuilding that, you know, that wall, the Tobiah and Sanballat says, "Why, these feeble Jews, if they build and rebuild this wall, if a fox runs on it, it'll fall down."
Yeah.
And maybe that's where the world thinks, if we rebuild, brethren, but if we're building on the foundation, she'll stand. But nevertheless, 14th chapter of Proverbs, "Every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hands." Now, every wise woman buildeth her house. Brother, if we are a wise woman, if we are a wise, virtuous woman in the Lord, will build on truth and righteousness. But the foolish woman plucketh it down with her hands. God won't be the cause of your church going dead. It'll be you pulling it down on you.
Amen.
You bring it down piece by piece. You'll take off the door here and the window there. You say, it's all right to take this in. It's all right to take that. It's all right to leave this and leave that. And a little leaven will leaven the whole lump.
Amen.
And after a while, you won't have a leg to stand on. How can you discipline one member when you've allowed this on and on and on? I know it's hard, brethren, on the flesh. But I tell you, you better build according to the specifications that the Lord has given. May God bless you, and I thank you, and I love all of you. And when you pray for all others, please pray for me. I thank you.